Okay, we're starting here on the top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. We're continuing to discuss the trefot of the reya of the lungs. Rava has another statement about the lungs. We had begun with a number of statements at the end of yesterday's daf from Rava. And here's a continuation. We have a number more statements from Rava. First one is, V'amar Rava, Hane tarte boe. If the lungs have two cysts or blisters on them, that they are adjacent, contiguous, there's no way to check them, and therefore they will be problematic. If it's a single cyst or blister, but it looks like two, we bring either a thorn or a needle, and we puncture it. If you puncture one of the cysts and it drains both cysts, then you know that they're really one. So even though they look like two, they're really one. And then it's kshera. On the other hand, dilo, if when you puncture one of them, both are not drained, then tarte ninhu, they're really two. And as we saw before, Rava says, if there are tarte, if there are two cysts or blisters over here, this mikhle adodi, leit lehu bedikuta, there's no way to check them, and vitrefo, it's a trefo. The question of why. Why is it when you have the adjacent blisters or cysts, is it problematic? So Rashi claims the problem here is that the cysts or the blisters are really the product of a hole, and the hole sits really between them. There's a hole in between them. The hole generated the two of them, and they are covering over or blocking the hole right now. We're going to see in later today's daf that that's not sufficient, because if you have some sort of scabbing or cover that protects against the hole that's there, that makes it a trefa, and it's not considered to be sealed up. So our fear here is that there was a hole that produced them, and they are somehow covering up that hole. So when we test it, we blow up the lungs, no air comes out. But that's only because they are sealing up the hole by being so close together, and their edges of their walls are sitting on it. But there really is a puncture there, and their covering is not something of permanence. That's Rashi's understanding. The other Rishonim, the Rashba, and others that understand the problem being here is that the two of them are going to cause pressure to each other. When they are so close and they're so adjacent, they actually will expand and cause one or the other to burst because they're so close, and they will create pressure on each other. They will eventually burst, and that will create the hole. So obviously you can see the nafkamina between these two reasons. The adjacency, according to Rashi, just means that they have to be close, not that they have to be literally on top of each other or pressuring each other. Because according to the Rashba and those Rishonim that follow, that the problem is about the pressure between them, then they'd have to be very close, and they'd have to be putting pressure on each other so that one or the other would burst. Right. Yesterday, we mentioned that if you have boi, if you have these cysts or blisters on the lungs, emakifin, Rava says, you can't compare them to see if they're good or not. There, Rashi commented, and Tosfot seconded it, that those were talking about cysts or blisters that had holes in them. Since they had holes in them, there was a nekev. A cyst or a blister by itself, according to that, according to Tosfot and Rashi, would be fine. If there was no hole in it, we just assume that the blister is being caused by liquid filling in between the outer layer, the outer skin, and the film or the membrane over the lungs. Because we said yesterday that there were two layers that cover the lungs. So the assumption would be if it's a single blister or a single cyst, that some liquid got in between the two layers, and that's what's causing it to bubble up. So in that case, it won't be problematic because there is no hole. You still have the outer layer that is protecting it. On the other hand, when you have two cysts, according to Rashi, next to each other, the assumption is that there was already a hole there, and then these two cysts grew on top of that hole and now are sealing the hole in. So there actually was a hole that went all the way through to the outside. But now these cysts, because of the way that they've come up together, they are now covering up the hole, or they are caused by the drying of the liquid that escaped through that hole. And that's why you have these cysts that are there. Okay, so that's actually Tosafot brings down here that if it's actually the difference here is something between what we call over here, these boi, or what we're describing over here, are cysts or blisters that are hard on the outside, and then there's a liquid on the inside that came internally. On the other hand, if you had scabbing on the outside of the lungs, that would be fine, and they'd be kshera. I mean, if they were totally dried out, if there's scabs on the outside, which that would be caused by a liquid coming from the outside and drying on it, or if for whatever reason something happened from the outside, something external that comes and creates a scab, that would not be a problem at all, because then you don't have any evidence that the membranes were penetrated. On the other hand, what we're describing here is something that has an outer layer and pus has come up, or liquid has come up into it. The liquid is coming from inside or internally from the lungs. So we know already that the internal membrane has been punctured, and that's how the liquid got there. The question now is, did the secondary membrane punctured? So in a case we have a single cyst, we don't worry about it because we have the outer membrane that's still protecting and the liquid is contained. On the other hand, when we have two cysts, then we start to become unsure about what the status of the outer membrane is. Is the outer membrane really punctured? And now the two cysts are closing up that hole, or somehow sitting on top of that hole. And that's why you can't see the hole. It's dried that way, or some liquid got in there and dried. And that's why it's covering up a hole. So we can't check. Since we can't check, it's psula. That's according to Rashi. Again, the Rashba and those that describe it as being a pressure issue is that there is no hole here. The problem is that when you have a single cyst, we don't worry about it because the liquid's all contained and the outer layer will keep it intact. The problem is when you have two cysts, then now you've already broken out of the inner layer, the inner membrane. The outer layer is containing them, but because of the pressure between the two cysts, it's going to cause one of the outer layers to burst. When it bursts, now you have a hole that's going all the way through from the lungs. The last possibility is that the Rabbi Yonatan Miloniel brought in the Meiri, that what we're talking about here, he has a different girsa in our Gemara. Instead of having desmiche lahadadi, he says desriche lahadadi. And that's similar to the onot that we saw yesterday, the lobes of the lungs, that if they have something that attaches them, a growth that attaches between them, that would be problematic. And that's the same problem here with these boi, with these cysts, is that problem of the connection between them. So that's it, depending, obviously he has a different girsa than we have in our Gemara that says sriche instead of smiche. But that would be a third possibility of what is meant here by the Gemara when Rava says, Hanetarti boi dismicha ladodi are a treifa. And again, how adjacent they have to be will depend on whether you think like Rashi or the Rash. According to Rashi, as long as they're just somewhat contiguous, that's enough because they could be covering over a hole. According to the Rashba, they would really have to be close together, adjacent enough or close enough that they would create pressure for each other. So he would probably have a higher demand of how close they were together. All right, Tosafot brings down from the Baal Halachot Gedolot that he says that this is true, these boi, that when you have a single cyst, that everything is fine. That's only when it's on the top of the layers of the lobe. But if they're found on the shipule ha'onot, they're found on the descent or the edges of the onot, then, or the umot also, whether it's the upper lobes or the lower lobes, treifa. Uperish atam, and his reason that he gave was, dechol yeter kenotul dami. Anything that's too much, if you have an extraneous item on the lung, it's as if it doesn't exist. So it's as if it's taken away, and now it's as if the lung has a hole in it. So you have this extra growth. Tosa says, I don't understand, because ma'inyan zeh, what does one have to do with the other? If you think that a boi, a cyst, is an extra growth, and that causes, that's equivalent of a chiseron in the lung, it should be irrespective of where it's found on the lung. But irrespective if it's found on top of the lung or around the or at the edges of the lung, it should have the same din in either place. And on the other hand, if it's not considered a teira, then it shouldn't matter. Again, it should be kosher in both cases. He says v'shema tam. This may be the reasoning of the Baal Halachot Gedolot is and da'omed besof sofol difasek v'lina kev. The fact that you have these cysts at the edge of the lungs is in a precarious place where, in all likelihood, it's going to break, burst, or somehow end up with a hole in it. V'tovli zaher, he says, even though it doesn't make so much sense what the Baal Halachot Gedolot is saying, it's a good thing to watch out for. Shekol divrehem divrei Kabbalah. Because all this distinction or these ideas that they have are not things that they're making up themselves. These are things they have derech Kabbalah. V'chein v'asak Rabbeinu Gershom. V'chatav im nehadele hudrana bisrak sheira. He says, but clearly if the outer layer of the lung is grown over and it's all smooth and fine over there, then obviously that would be fine when it comes to these cysts. Now, the other thing Tosfos mentions from the Baal Halachot Gedolot is that even if there is a gap of a chuta sa'ara, there's a hairbreadth gap between the two cysts, then it's still a treifa. You want to ask before Shaul about the adjacency, that's how adjacent they have to be. They can have even a gapping of a chuta sa'ara, but Tosfos is medayek from that if it had a gapping of two se'arot, of two hairs breadth, then it wouldn't be problematic. So that will tell you how close they have to be, at least according to the Pshat of Rashi, is that it has to be a hair breadth or less in proximity in order to be problematic. Anything more than that would not be problematic. All right, now the Gemara continues, and this next statement of Rava actually relates to the machloket that we saw yesterday that was brought down by Rashi from his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yaakov bar Rebbe Yakar. And that is that Rava says, Hey oni itle lireyo. There are five lobes in the lungs. Apa klape gavro. When the animal is facing the butcher, plantum yamino, there are three lobes on the right side, vitarte mismolo, and two on the left side. Now, anatomically, whenever you speak about a human being, an animal, when you say right and left, you're talking about the right and left of the patient, the right or left of the individual who you're speaking about. So when we're talking about right and left over here of the animal, the right part of the lungs that have three lobes and the left are anatomically the animals. So if the butcher is facing the animal, then it should be just the opposite. But because of the way that they flay an animal by hanging up by its hind legs and then turning it face out. So because it's upside down and facing out, therefore anatomically the right of the animal is the same as the right of the butcher at that point in time. So what the Gemara is saying here is when the butcher is facing the animal, when it's hanging to be flayed, then the butcher's right turns out to also be anatomically the right of the animal. And therefore, the right side or the right side of the lungs will have three lobes. The left side of the lungs will have two lobes. The problem now, and that's what we have to discuss here, is that the cow's lungs really have seven lobes. They do not have five lobes, but seven lobes. And this comes back to what we were discussing yesterday, which is that the Rishonim have a distinction between the onot, which are these five lobes on top, the smaller lobes, and the omot, which are the larger lobes at the bottom. The larger lobes at the bottom, the omot, which are the caudal lobes or the diaphragmatic lobes, those are much larger lobes. They're obviously not being discussed over here because we're saying five instead of seven. What we are discussing are the upper lobes on both sides, which are the cranial or apical lobes. And then you have on the left side, you have another lobe in the middle, which is the cardiac or middle lobe. And then on the right side, you have two, which are either the cardiac lobes or the cardiac and middle lobe, depending on how it's defined. But those are five onotes we're speaking about. And this is the Rabbeinu Tam's proof against Rashi and his Rebbe. Right? She said yesterday, and his Rebbe, Rabbeinu, he quotes from his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yaakov or Rebbe Yakar, that the distinction of onot and umot is never found in the Gemara. And therefore, if something is said about the onot, it's true of the umot. It's true of the caudal lobes or the diaphragmatic lobes as well, because the Gemara sees no distinction between them. Rabbeinu Tam says, that's not true, because we have Rava's statement here. Rava's statement says, hey, onot, that there are five lobes. Well, if you're going to include the caudal lobes, these diaphragmatic larger lobes, in the count, there should be seven and not five. The fact that Rava means five, that means that the other two are not called onot. According to Rabbeinu Tam, they're called reot. They're just called the lungs, because they're just the biggest part of the lungs. So they're not called onot. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, he says that I think Rashi and his Rebbe are wrong because of Rava's statement here of the five lobes. Tosafot, on the other hand, defends Rashi's position and says that the reason Rava is mentioning the Oni here is because of the trefot that are coming up. The trefot that we're about to mention, the three trefot, really only appear in the onot, only appear in these upper lobes. They do not appear in the caudal or the diaphragmatic lobes below because they're too big and it doesn't happen. So only these apical cardiac lobes that are up above, they have these problems. And that's why Rava only addressed the five onot and not seven. So what are those? Kasir, if one of the lobes is missing, o yatir, or there's an extra lobe there, o khalif, or they're swapped out. Swapped out means that instead of having three on the right and two on the left, you have it the other way around. You have two on the right and three on the left. So all of those are trefa. So now we have a case. How yatir to the ate the kamei de mereimar? Someone, a butcher, brought in front of mereimar a lungs that had an extra lobe in it. Havayoti rav acha bava. Vacha was sitting by the doorway, away from Mreimar. So what did he tell you? He asked the butcher, what was the psak? Amalei akshara aniali. He says, fine, it's no problem, it's kosher. Amalei hadar aila kamei. Go back and ask him again, because Vacha was obviously thinking of Rava's statement. Rava's statement says that if you have a yoterta, you have an extra lobe, then it's a trefa. So how could it be that Mreimar was makshir over here? So he said he sent them back to Mreimar so Mreimar would think about it again and get the right psak. So when he went back, Mreimar says to the butcher, go tell the Mantiyoti Vabava, tell that man that's sitting at the doorway, meaning Ravacha, the locha is not like Rava when it comes to Yoterot. Now, we say this in a very narrow sense, and that's what Rashi says. When we say that it's Rava Yoterot, that's it. Yoterot, we do not paskan like Rava. That means if you have extra lobes there, it's not problematic, it's not a trefa. But by chaser, if you're missing a lobe, the halacha is like Rava and it's problematic, or chalif. If they're swapped out, right and left sides are swapped out, that's also problematic. Again, the right and left sides swapped out is either you have three on the left and two on the right, the opposite of what it's supposed to be, or you could talk about the shape of the lobes. The shape of the lobes are a little different on the right and left side, so if the shapes are swapped out, or the style of the lobes are different, all of these things could be what could be swapped out to be shown him discuss what exactly is called khalif. And that's what Rashi mentioned over here. Again, is Rabbeinu Yaakov aval b'chasir v'chalif halacha kamoto delekem antepolik. So he saw his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yaakov, paskin that yeterot were not a problem, like we see here in the Gemara. But he did say the chasir and the khalif, which nobody argues on, there the halacha is like Rava. Now, there is a qualification of this when an extra lobe is considered to be okay. V'hani mile dekaima bedora de'oni. This is only true when this extra lobe is found along the plane of the existing lobes. So if it's on the plane of the existing lobes, then it's fine. As long as it doesn't protrude up or down or anywhere, or it's not sitting on top of the other lobes, then it's fine. It has to be within the plane of the other lobes. Look like it fits in perfectly. Aval, baini baini, if it's found in between the lobes, then it is a trefa. So baini baini, as Rashi defines the baini baini over here, is kol milamato, la gruaga, that it's sitting above, sitting somehow above the lungs. It's not on that same plane. Ben shehi ben shtei arugot, or it's found between the two sections of the lobes, meaning the right and left side. It's sitting in the middle on top of the trachea, or down below between the two caudal lobes. If it's sitting in between them, then all of those are osheisha chad peemza uma agabash lo kaseder chitucha de onei trefa. As long as if it doesn't have the normal shape and it's sitting in between them, then all of those are considered to be problematic lobes. So this yetera is really only on the upper lobe, and it's only on the upper lobes when it has the same properties and it's on the same plane as the lobes that are on the upper side. But otherwise, even the yetera, this extra lobe, would be considered to be problematic. All right, so now the Gemara says about another lobe in the lungs. We spoke about so far, which is the apical and cardiac lobes. And then we talked about the caudal or the diaphragmatic lobes. Those are all the lobes that exist. There's also an additional lobe, which is called the accessory or intermediate lobe. The accessory or intermediate lobe does not sit on the plane of all the other lobes. It actually sits on the back of the lungs. That's what the Gemara is about to discuss here, which is that how beni beni, there was this extra lobe, the atala kamed ravashi. It came to ravashi. It was a case where an extra lobe, but was not on the plane of the other lobes. So Ravashi lemitrefa. So Ravashi says pretty straightforward. This should be a trefa. So Amale Ravuna Mar Avya. Ravuna Avya says to him, Kohane Chive. Either the girsa here is either it should be Bar Yato or Baraita. So if they are Baraita means outside, those that are in the wild, that are not in the yeshuv, that eat afar and they go in the forest. Or if it's the Bar Yato, all these healthy animals, Hachayitluhu. They have this extra lobe. This extra lobe is not a trefa. This is an extra lobe that's found in all the animals. Vekarula tabche, and the butchers call it inunita devarda, the little rose lobe. It's called the little rose lobe. Again, it's a little pocket that sits on the lungs. It's an extra lobe that sits on the back of the lungs. Now, vahani mile migavai. That's only true if it's on the internal part. Aval agaba, if it's sitting on the back of the lungs, afilu ketarfa deasa, even if it's as tiny as the leaf of a myrtle, trefa, then it is a trefa. So now we have to just discuss quickly. Rashi over here says that he says in the rove of our animals, we find this extra accessory lobe, intermediate lobe, like is being described by Rav Huna. But there are some animals that we find that don't have this lobe at all. If it's missing this lobe, what is the din? If you're missing this lobe, does that become like a chaser? And if it's a chaser, then it'd be problematic. It'd be a trefa. So Rashi over here says no. He says that it's clear that there were behemoth in their time that also didn't have this lobe. And Ravashi was almost ready to be a mitari, an animal that he found with such a lobe, until along comes Rav Huna bar Baravya and says, no, there are many animals with this lobe in it, and that's why it's not classified as a trefa. But what you see from that is that if you have the lobe, it's not a trefa. But without the lobe, it's also not a trefa. And that's the way Rashi paskins over here, that the robe that have them, fine. If they don't have it, it's also ksheira. Now, there are some people, he quotes over here, there are people that say, Shim chasru onota yamin. If the right lobes are missing, the middle lobe on the right side, that extra lobe is missing, mitzarfim lab hadayu, you can take this additional accessory lobe and consider it as if it's the missing lobe, and we'll consider if it's not missing. Rashi rejects that outright and says, so I couldn't find anything on this, but it makes no sense because we said before, the only time you can have a replacement lobe is when it's on the same plane. This is nowhere near where that lobe should have been, and therefore it cannot be the replacement lobe for it. And it's equivalent of chalif. It's equivalent of has something being out of its space. Instead of being on the right side, now it's in the middle. So that doesn't work. Then he writes, Uke demashkachan tarte inunita. What happens if you find two of these accessory lobes on the lungs? Shematimi pi mori hazaken. I heard from my Rebbe. Shenechlu kuba gdoli hador. It was actually a machlokis of the gdoli hador. This is Rashi speaking. It was a machlokis of the Gedolei Hador, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Baruch v'chavei Rav. It was Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Baruch and his counterpart that were arguing on this. V'lo perish li da'ato. My Rebbe never told me, Rabbeinu Yaakov, never told me what his belief was here. V'nira li. And then Rashi says, I think, shu treifel, that it's problematic. He says, da ha, yitero de beni beni hi. Because then it becomes the equivalent of an additional lobe that's not on the plane of the other lobes. Yes, this lobe that we find, the accessory lobe, is fine only because Rav Huna told us that they find it in all these animals. But had it not been for that, an extra lobe over there would have been problematic. And now when you have two of them, that's not the normal way. That's not the normal way. If that's not the normal way, now we have an extra lobe. And an extra lobe that's not on the plane of the other lobes is considered to be problematic. And that's the way Rashi paskins. On the other hand, Tosafot brings here from the Rabbeinu Ephraim. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says, you know what Rav Huna was talking about? Rav Huna is talking about a case where there are two lobes. If there's one lobe there, then Rav Huna doesn't have to come and tell us that it's kosher. Of course, one lobe is kosher. When you have one accessory lobe, it's kosher. Every animal has that, which is interesting that the Rabbeinu Ephraim thinks that all animals have that. Rashi is clear here that they were finding animals without this accessory lobe. And that's clearly why Rashi thinks that Rav Huna's statement that that lobe is not extra is a chiddush, because there are some animals that don't have it. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says, no, it's a given. All animals have this lobe. So what? Rav Huna wouldn't have to come to teach us about that one lobe. So what's Rav Huna coming to teach us? That if there's a second accessory lobe, it's okay. So the Rabbeinu Ephraim claims that if you have two accessory lobes there, it's kasher. If you have one, it's also kasher, because one is a given that it's kasher. If you have two, it's also kasher. That's what Rav Huna is addressing. But if there are no lobes there, it would be pasul, it'd be a treifa, because that's a chaser. That's missing. So you can see that the starting point for the Rashi and the Rabbeinu Ephraim brings about their different opinion. Rashi is starting from the premise that there are animals without this accessory lobe and some with it. So Rav Huna comes to teach us, the ones that have it, that's not considered to be a yetera that's out of the plane of the other lobes. So that's the chiddush already, that's the extra lobe is not problematic. But that means if you have two extra lobes, it's certainly problematic. And if you're missing the lobe, it's okay. There are animals like that. That's Rashi's position. Rabbeinu Ephraim begins with the position that all animals have this accessory lobe, have this extra lobe. So now Rav Huna's chiddush is that you can have two of these lobes. So if you have two of these lobes, then it'll be kasher. But that's also a given that if you don't have any lobes there, it'll be a pasul, it'll be a treifa, because it's a given that all animals have this lobe. And that's the whole chiddush of Rav Huna, that you have two lobes here. And then Tosfot at the end says, Va'ama dovar kirashi, says that it seems to be the simple pshat, the minhag ha'am, is like Rashi, midikamar, v'karulei tabchei ninita devardo. The fact that the butchers called it the little rose lobe, mashmuk perusho, din sham elohi. They gave it a specific name, and that means that it was the only one there. Not that there were two of them there. That when Rav Huna is describing here, he's describing two of them, that's what they called it? No, there's one name for one lobe, and that's what Rav Huna is describing. And therefore, Tosafot favors the position of Rashi against the Rabbeinu Ephraim. And just to note, in the previous Gemara, when we talked about the fact that there was an extra lobe on the backside of the lungs, that it was problematic. It was the size of a myrtle leaf. Tosafot says, Nira, he says, Dim nipsei ta'in yunita l'tzad smol. What happens if you find the accessory lobe on the left side instead of the right side? Kevin delav orcha b'hachi. Since that's not the normal placement of it, it's a treifa. And Tosafot in between says that he's not sure that that's correct, because he says the Gemara only distinguishes between the back of the lungs and the front side of the lungs. On the front side of the lungs, that's considered to be an accessory lobe. On the back, it's problematic. The only distinction that the Gemara drew was between back and front, implying that if it was on the front, even if it was in the wrong location, it would still be fine as an accessory lobe. That's what Tosafot wants to say. Correct. The front would be towards the belly of the animal, towards the underside of the animal, the back being the upper part where the ribs are. And so Tosafot wants to suggest that maybe it should be okay, but then in the end he says, Mori Rav Dudizel is not willing to be matir because he thinks that it's out of place. And he says, maybe it's true. Maybe because lav orche halchi. The only reason we're willing to be matir, the accessory lobe, is because Rav Huna says, I found them in these other animals. That's the normal way. Well, if it's not normally found on the left side, then it's no longer what Rav Huna saw. And maybe that wouldn't be a heter accordingly. And then Tosafot brings down, it's an interesting, another point on this matter, Tosafot brings down, says, Meshum avi ezri, harav aravan, katav arav yitzhak besifro, the davka bishar onot, the gavareya havia trefa. It's only a problem when you find them by the other onot on the back of the lungs, I mean the upper side of the lungs, the part that faces up towards the spinal cord. Aval onot shebitzad yamin hatachtona shehi elyona hasmucha letzavar, on the right side, which is the part that is towards the head of the animal, on the right side towards the head of the animal, where you have the three, that ksheira, the darka lehitpatzel, that ona, that lobe over there, has a tendency to break up or to split. And therefore, since that is, like you were saying before, Shoal, that's a normal way that you find the animals, it would not be considered Yetzerah. Because the lobe over there tends to be mitpatzel, split, and therefore it's okay. Katav b'tshuva, and he says in a tshuva, da filo lo havya kitarfa da asel yedei nefikha trefa. What happens if the lobe itself, when it's not filled with air, is less than a myrtle leaf? But when you inflate the lungs, it expands, becomes the size of a myrtle leaf. So he says in a tshuva, he writes that that is problematic. That even if it happens only because of the inflation, gets to the size of a myrtle leaf, that will be problematic. If you have a lung that is similar to a piece of wood, trefa, then it's a trefa. Now, what does that mean? So, ika de amre bechazuta, in its appearance. If its appearance is like that of wood, then it's sula, or trefa. Vika de amre begishta, that has to do with the texture of the lungs. If the texture is the lungs, the sensory input that you get from your sense of touch, when you touch the lungs and a piece of wood, if they are similar, then that's the problem over here. So one opinion says it's an issue of chazuta, of appearance, and one says that it's an issue of touch. Ikedamre, there's some that say the nefikha, that the problem here is about blowing it up. The nefikha is that you inflate it. Now Rashi says that the nefikha over here is that when you blow it up, it becomes white. And when it becomes white, that's the same as the opinion before that said chazuta in appearance. Then it'll look like a piece of wood and no longer look like a lung. What's interesting here is that Tosafot yesterday, in quoting the position of the Rabbeinu Tam said the Gemara yesterday when it says lo shna, by the position of Rovo, it said lo shna, whether you have mikzata is red, lo shna kula red, it's a trefa, it's problematic. We're going to see in a little couple minutes that the Gemara here says that a red lung is kasher, it's not a problem at all. So Tosafot says, what is Rabbeinu Chananel going to do with our Gemara over here that says red is fine? So he says that if you blow up the lungs, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, it's a case where they're red, but when you blow them up, they turn white. So the reason it's kasher over here is because it blows it up and turns white. It's almost the opposite of the conclusion of the Gemara here going to Rashi, but you see that they're both saying the same thing, which is that when you inflate the lungs, it loses some of the redness and turns white when they're inflated. It loses that reddish color that we discussed yesterday, that they look like a red date when the outer skin is taken off. Over here, when they're inflated, it loses that redness and turns more white. Vigadamre, and some say the bechiza. Now, bechiza, again, means hard, and this is similar to the gishta, the feeling or the texture that we were talking about in the previous case. So it's two ways to say the same machloket. Machloket is whether it's the appearance that is similar, or is it the sense of touch that is similar. Vigadamre, and now here's a third opinion, the shia, that it's totally smooth, that they have no clear definition of the lobes. So here, if you have no clear definition of the lobes, it's so smooth that the lobes have no definition, that's problematic because then it's like wood. It's like wood that's smooth that you don't have any distinction, you don't have any difference between them. Now Rashi points out over here when that means that it's absolutely smooth. Even if you have the lobes being defined, there's not a separation between the lobes. There's not a full cut between the lobes. But nevertheless, there are crevices that make it look like the lobes are different. Rashi says already that's not a trefa anymore. Because with wood, that wouldn't be the case. By wood, it'd be absolutely smooth. So over here, the only way for it to be problematic is if it's absolutely smooth. If there's any gapping, if there's any ridge or depression between them that makes it look like there are lobes here, that Rashi says that's sufficient and it will not be a trefa. Now, Tosfot even extends Rashi further. He says that Hainu Shechaloka Legamre, that it's totally smooth. If there's any heker, then it's okay. So according to Rashi, you at least need some sort of line or wedge that gives you an indication where the lobes are. Tosfot says just the mere shape. If there's any shape that gives away that it's not exactly smooth and totally smooth, that's enough to be considered a kshera. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Amarova. Kikuchla kshera. If the lung is bluish, not a problem. Kidiyuta, on the other hand, if it's black, diyuta is from dio, from the ink, so the black ink. Kuchla is from the makeup, the eyeliner that's blue. So the, if it's bluish, kshera. If it's black, then it's a trefa. Damar b'chanina, this is a din in nida. Shachor, because black is really adom hu elishalaka. It's really red that has gone bad. Red that's gone bad, or a deep red, really turns black. So therefore, the assumption is by nido, if it's a black color, then that has a din of dam nido, and it would be considered like the red that's gone bad black. Also over here, if the item is black, then we assume that it was a problem because it's really blood, it was red. That means that there was a problem in the lung, and the black is an indication of that problem. Now, Tosafot, if you remember yesterday, we had Rava made a statement that uchme uchme, black, black blotches were fine. That was kshera. So how come over there black blotches were okay, and over here black is no good? So Rabbeinu Tam yesterday said that the answer is that over there it's just a couple of spots when they're black spots. Our Gemara is talking about when Ruba, when the robe has black spots on it, then it's problematic. Our Gemara yesterday, when Rava made the statement, he was talking about a couple of black dots. So a couple of black dots are okay. A robe is a problematic. And Tosafot brings down that Rabbeinu Tam paskan alocha lemaisa like that. If he saw something that wasn't robe black, he would say it was fine. On the other hand, Tosafot back there said yesterday that the ukme that they were talking about there was really kuchla. It was blue. It was talking about those black dots. They really weren't black. They were like navy blue. They were dark blue. And that would accord with the position of Rava here that blue is okay. It's not such an easy way to read the Gemara because the Gemara uses the term uchme, and uchme means black. But Tosafot, to avoid the problem and not to paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam, suggests that the uchme that we mentioned yesterday was really kuchla. Now, yiroka, if it's green, ksheira. Now, in the Gemara, green, it runs a very, very large gamut. Yiroka in the Gemara runs anywhere from like a greenish blue all the way to yellow. That's all incorporated under a yiroka. So when we say Yiroka Ksheira over here, that's that whole span. We're going to see the Gemara is going to narrow it down in a second. Mid Rabbi Natan. We'll see that in a second, Rabbi Natan. Aduma Ksheira. Red is considered Kasher. Mid Rabbi Natan. And this is what we discussed earlier. The Rabbeinu Chanano, who says on the previous Amud by Rava that red is problematic all the time. What is he going to do with this Gemara? And that's what the Tosafot said, that if here, when you inflate it, it turns white, then it's okay. But if it remains red, even after you've inflated it, that would be problematic. And that's how the Rabbeinu Chanan is going to get out of this Gemara that says red seems to be just fine. Right, so the solution to that problem would be either like the Rabbeinu Tam, and it's really what Rashi says in the Gemara before, is that the Rabbeinu Tam says that the black's only a problem when it's rov. Is it a problem? But when it's just blotches of black, then it's fine. And you would say the same thing here by Aduma. The Aduma is fine when it's not extensive red, even though there we said lo shna, it makes no difference. It should be kshera according to Rashi. Either when it's mixato or the whole thing is red, it's fine, because that is the natural color of the lungs. Remember that the natural coloring of the lungs is red. When we're talking about here a deeper red, then it looks to be something that went wrong. So it could be that the shade of red makes a difference according to Rashi, that when it's the red of the tamar or the membrane that's normally on the lungs, then it's fine. If it's a much darker red, which is indication of blood, that would be problematic, and the shachor would be reflecting that blood over here. All right, now, what's the story of Rabbi Natan? It's a very famous story. Tanya Rabbi Natan Omer Pamachat Alachti Karchei Hayam. I was out journeying on the islands. Mbata Isha Achat Lefanai. This woman came to me. Shemala Bina Rishon. She gave a brit milah to her first son, Umet, and he died, passed away. Sheni Umet, her second son, and passed away. Shlishi Aviyato Lefanai. Now she brings her third son in front of Rabbi Natan. Rayativ Shaya Adom. I saw that he was red. Amarti la biti, himtini lo, achivala bodamo. He's red. According to Rashi, he's red because the blood is flowing between his flesh and his skin. It says yet to be absorbed into his limbs. And because of that, any little cut will cause him to bleed to death. Therefore, you can't do the brit milah. It'll be sakanat nifashot. And obviously, brit milah is not doche, sakanat nifashot. So you should wait. And that's what she said to him. Wait until the blood is absorbed into his body. Then Himtina, she did that. Himtina lo malauto v'chaya, and he survived. Vayukorimoto Natana Bavli Ashmi, and they named him after me, Natana Bavli. V'shul pamachat alachti midinat Kaputkia. I went to Kaputkia, which is usually associated with Africa. Bata isha lefanai shemala bina rishon umet sheni umet, first son, second son, and they passed away after a brit milah. Shlishit eviyotah lefanai. She now brings her third son in front of me. Reitiv shaya yarok. I saw that he was green. He tzatzti bo. I examined him. I took a look. V'haya bo dam brit. He didn't have yet the dam brit that was there. Martel abiti. Imtani lo achipo bo damo. Wait till his blood is absorbed into his limbs. Imtina lo umala uto. She did that and did the brit milah afterwards. V'chaya, and he survived. Ayukorin oto natana bavli yoshmi. And they called him natana bavli after me. So a couple of things from the story. The first is that here we have the colors red and green. So red and green, what we see here is that red and green are not terminal. that red and green are something that are hivri, that they become healthy, that they are just a prelude, but they're a prelude to the possibility of it becoming healthy. So too by the lungs. These colors of green and red will not be considered problematic. And this is basically what we have with kids, is the jaundice. If you have jaundice, then we don't do a Brit Milah on the kid because of the dangers that are associated with it. And that would be the color we're talking, you know, we're talking about a reddish yellow, which is that tends to be the color of jaundice. And that's probably what was being described here by Rabbi Natan. The other thing Tosafot notes over here is, how do we know that you shouldn't give a Brit Milah in this case? So Tosafot says, oh, we have a Gemara in Yevamot. There's a machlok between Rabbi and the Chachamim about how many times is there to establish a chazakah. Rabbi says if two times is a chazakah, the Rabbanan say three times is a chazakah. So Tosafot says this Gemara, Rabbi Natan, must be holding like Rabbi, that after two times it's a chazakah, because he or she gave a Brit Milah to the first two children and they passed away. So now she has evidence that there's something wrong, that there's a sickness here. And that evidence would allow her not to give a Brit Milah to the third one. And that's why Rabbi Natan allowed her to postpone it and not to give the Brit Milah, because we had this evidence of the sickness based on it. To be honest with you, I don't see that in the Gemara. I would say to you that Rabbi Natan never inquired as to what the issue was with the first two. He looked at the third son. He saw they were sick, independent of the chazakah relating to the first two children. He saw that the child had something that was objectively problematic. And so I think he could be saying it even according to the Chachamim. It doesn't seem like he was relying on the chazakah to establish that there was a problem here. It was the fact that he looked at the child and saw there was a problem. It's not like she came to him and said, oh, it's my third child. No, he looks at the child and gives a psak based on what he sees. That means that he has evidence that there's a problem without ever knowing what happened with the other two children. So I'm not sure that it's mukhrach what Tosafot says, that it could be even according to Chachamim that the third is a chazakah. I'm not sure that Rabbi Natan is, probably here, is relying on the chazakah here. Amar Rav Kana. Kikavdo, if the lungs turn out to be like the liver, it's a process called hepatization. Hepatization, that's the sickness hepatitis relates to the liver. So hepatization is the changing of a limb to be like the liver. And that means that it becomes solid and a single object. So if that happens, kshera, then it's okay. Kibisra, on the other hand, if it turns into flesh, which is called carnification, when a limb turns into or it starts to take on the properties of flesh. And here again, it's not clear whether we're talking about chazuta appearance or we're talking about regishta, or we're talking about the contact. But either way, in this case, it'll be a trefa when it's like basar, when a flesh. V'simanech, and the way to remember it is basar besadeh trefa. So basar is considered trefa. When it turns into flesh, it's problematic. When it turns into the liver, then it's not problematic. So now we're going to have a qualification about the coloring that we spoke about before, that green. I said to you that Yarok or Yerokan, the Gemara has a very wide spectrum. So Avar Rav Sama Breid Rava, Hai Reya De Damya Kishuta, that this lung that is similar to hops, Uku Morika, or similar to saffron, Uku On Biata Trefo, or like a scrambled egg, all of those are not good. That those are all what I would say on the yellowish spectrum of green. And since they're on the yellowish spectrum, that is not the green that we're speaking about here. Ella, Yeroka, the Ksheira, the green that we're speaking about here is real green. Hechidamya, what is it? Kikarti. It's like a leek. The green of like a leek. Now, Tosafot suggests that this is not a pure green, but rather a bluish green. And he bases that on the Mishnah in Brachot that says that one of the time periods, the qualifications for Kriyat Shema is when you can be Mavchin ben Karti L'tchelet, between karti and tchelet. Tchelet we know is blue. That's doma l'rakia, similar to the sky. And therefore over here, when we're talking about the karti, it's got to be something that's in the bluish green range. The only problem is that Rashi, when Rashi discussed Yeroka before, Rashi gave you an example, but Yeroka is asef, grass or vegetation, which is really absolute green and not a bluish green. So Rashi seems to indicate that we're talking about a real green. So Tosafot is leaning towards the bluish green because of the comparison that's drawn between Tchelet and Karti in the Mishnah and Brachot. The idea being that we're not in the yellow spectrum of what's called Yerok. We are in the green or bluish green spectrum of what's called Yerok in order to be sure over here. Okay, now Amar Avina, Atum Bereya. What happens if we have a clog in the lungs? You inflate the lungs and one of the lobes does not inflate because there's a blockage. So Maitinan Sakina, we bring a knife. And we open it up. If there's pus inside of it, It's clear that the pus was blocking the air from getting through, and that's why the lobe is not inflating. But otherwise, it's a kosher pair of lungs. Ukshera. Velo, on the other hand, if there is no pus that comes out, then we're now uncertain as to why there's no air flowing through. Modvina la gadfa oroka, we place on it a feather, or saliva, or later on we'll see a gila, a piece of straw. Imivatsvitsa, if it moves, then kshira. Velo, trefa. Otherwise, it's considered to be a trefa. So over here, what we're trying to test for is the air passing through that bronchi into the lobe. So when we cut it open, as long as the air is passing through, we know that there was some sort of blockage that we cleared out, and now the air is able to pass into the lobe. But if we're unable to get any air through that section of the bronchi, then we start to worry. We start to worry that either there was a hole, and that's why we can't get the air through, or we worry about the fact that one of the bronchi is problematic, that one of these bronchi deteriorated, and that's also, we'll see, is a problem of trefa. So I'm Rav Yosef. Krum shalam achmat makah. This is something we've seen before a couple of times, that if some sort of scabbing or skin grew over a hole because of a wound, bereya, on the lungs, eino krum, that's not considered to be a covering, and we said that's because it doesn't have permanence. It's not something that will remain there forever, it's something that eventually will come off, and since it will eventually come off, the hole is problematic because the hole makes it into a trefa, and now you're only temporarily sealing the hole, it's not something of permanence. Verhama Rav Yosef, and now this is a repeat of a Gemara that we did yesterday. Hi Reya da Avsha, if you blow a lungs and you hear a sound of air going through the lung, Iya Dinan Hecha Avsha, if we know exactly where the air is escaping from the lung, Me Nechina Nala Gadfa, then we place on top of the lung there a feather, O Gila or straw, O Roka or saliva, Ime Vatsvitsa, if they move, then it's a Trefa, because then we know that the air is escaping not only from the internal membrane, but even through the or the skin that's around it. Velo, if not, then it's kshira, because then the hole is only in the internal membrane, it's not in the outer membrane. Velo yadinanla, if we don't know where the air is escaping from, where the noise is coming from, maitina, then we bring a mishichuta or mishichle demaya, we bring a pitcher of water, shure, with warm water in it, umutvinanla begava, we put the lungs into it. Bechamime lo, we don't put it into hot water, to kivatze, because it causes it to constrict or contract, and maybe it'll cover up or seal up a hole that was there. Bikrire lo, we don't put it into cold water, dimitarshe, causes the lungs to harden and make them more brittle, and therefore when you touch that area, you might cause the hole to be there, or the air pressure from escaping in the internal membrane will cause it to burst, and the hole will be created that wasn't there before. Ela batkinan la bishure, we use warm water. Imevatsvitsa, if we see bubbles coming up in the water, then trefa, we know that the air is escaping both from the internal membrane as well as the external membrane. Below, if not, it's kshira. Why? So then what's the noise coming from? So tata inkiv, the internal membrane was punctured. And ilo lo inkiv, the outer membrane, the outer skin is fine. Vai de avsha, so what's the noise coming from? The zika de beni benihu. It's from the air that is entering between the two membranes, between the two film, between the inner membrane and the outer skin. So the air is getting in there, and that's what's causing the noise. But not the fact that it's escaping from the lungs. There's no full hole that goes from internally all the way to the outside. Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Reya shenishpecha kekaiton. If the internal lung has liquefied like a pitcher of water, kshira. We saw this before by the Chut HaShidra. So over there, we discussed what's the status, and here it'll be kasher. Alma, and as Rashi describes here, it means the whole thing's liquefied inside. It swashes around top to bottom. It's fine. Alma, kasavra chisaron bibifnim lo shmei chisaron. It must be that he believes that if you have a chisaron on the inside, that's not a chisaron. A chisaron on the outside is problematic because that means there's a hole, there's a puncture. But internal chisaron, the fact that all the flesh, materials, muscle on the inside deteriorated and now became liquid, that's not considered to be a chisaron. So etve rabbi avod ulo hareya shenikva o shechaseira. Our Mishnah says that a lung that it was punctured or is missing something, that is trefa. So my chasera, what is the chasera that we're talking about? Ilema mi bachutz, that it's missing on the outside. Hanu nikva, it's the same thing as being punctured. Being punctured means you have a problem all the way through the outside. Allah mi bifnim, chasera must be something different. It means that it's internally chasera. And that would be a problem for this position that was suggested by Ula. Ushmamina chisron bifnim, shmei chisron. And from our Mishnah, it sounds like that an internal deficit is a problem. Where it says, lo, The olam mibachutz. Talking about a chisron mibachutz. Kamar tainu nikva. They say, well, how's that different than a hole? If a hole is problematic, then certainly chasera is problematic. Chasera is no less than a hole. So lo tzricha ela l'Rabbi Shimon. We need this according to the position of Rabbi Shimon. If you remember in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon argued on the Tana Kama as to where the hole has to go. According to the Tana Kama, if the hole reaches any of the bronchi, it's problematic. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, has to reach the main bronchi in order for it to be problematic. And so that's what the Gemara is saying here. According to Rabbi Shimon, who says that a nekev is only problematic when it reaches the main bronchi. That means if it didn't reach the main bronchi, it would not be problematic. That's by a nekev, because there's no chitzaron. On the other hand, if there is chitzaron, and that's what Rabbi Shimon d'amarati nekev, the bit of simple note, until the main bronchi, hanimili nekev, leipe chitzaron. That's only talking about a hole that has no chitzaron, nothing missing. Of a nekev, deitpe chitzaron, if there's something missing from the lungs, afilu Rabbi Shimon molde, even Rabbi Shimon will agree that it can reach any of the bronchi, and it'll be problematic if there is a chasera here. Rabbi Chananya chalash, Chananya got sick, alagabei Rabbi Natan v'chol g'dolei ador. So biker cholim from Rabbi Natan and all the g'dolei ador. Aitu kamei reya shenishpacha kekaiton. As a present, they came to visit him when he was in the hospital, and they brought him a lung to look at. And the lung was exactly this case of ula, which is nishpach kekaiton. It was liquefied on the inside entirely. Vachshira. And just like ula, he was machshirit. So amarava. Behu de kaimei simfonot. The Rava qualifies this idea that when it's liquefied on the inside, it's okay. That's only if we're talking about the flesh or the muscle on the inside, but not the bronchi. The bronchi must be intact. So amarle ravacha brei de rava, the ravashi minayodinan. How do you test whether the bronchi are still intact or not? So amarle maitinan tzad de kunyo. We bring an earthenware vessel that's glazed with lead, meaning that's very, very smooth, and it's black, obviously, because of the lead. And we puncture the lung, and we allow all the liquid to drain into this utensil. If there are streaks of white in it, trefa, because the white would be coming from the deterioration of the bronchi. So if there's deterioration in the bronchi, you're going to get white streaking, and we're using this black glazed earthenware vessel to see the white, make the white show up. Velo, if there's no white streaking, sheira, then it's not problematic. So Amar Rav Nachman, reya sheni moka, bekrum shela kayam. If you have a reya, now here it's not that it liquefied, like the previous case, but it's just missing. Internally, it's missing some of the mass that's supposed to be there internally. It's completely missing, but krum shela kayam, there's no holes in it. So that's sheira. So Tanya Nami Ocha, we have a braita that supports this. We had this before. Again, this is a case where it's wasted away, but it's not that it's liquid, and it's not that there's any puncture over here. That's the price it says, Reya, Shini Moka, Vikrum Shalakayam, Afilu Machzeket Revit. Even if that empty space could hold a Revit alog, Ksheira. That is considered to be Kasher, because we don't consider that to be a Chisaron of any sort. It's an internal Chisaron. It's not something where there's a puncture, and therefore we don't worry about it. It's interesting here. Tosfot brings down a case here about this idea of Chisaron. He says that v'yesh shiratzu le'asor k'shinuri tareya chaseira. If the lungs look like they're missing something, sheish kemet, it folds over somehow, or sedek, v'chisaron ala reya, afilo ola b'nificha. But if you inflate it, it expands and it becomes like the regular lobe is supposed to be. So there are those that wanted to aser it, because over here the Gemara says, av nekev sheish bo chisaron, right, afilo Rabbi Shimon Moder, and they wanted to suggest based on that, that any chisaron, anything that's missing or doesn't look like the proper lobe, will be problematic. Even when inflated, they go back to the regular size. They feel that that would be problematic. Beishev lahem riva de tahu tahu biyadam, that they were mistaken. That's a grave mistake on their part. Because if you believe that that was a problem, then even the chachamim could agree here. Because the chachamim still require a nekev till the bronchi. If you're telling me you don't even need a nekev, you just need the thing to look like it's missing or it's folded over, that'd be enough. Then even the Chachamim could have explained the case of Chiasera here. In fact, the Gemara only set it up like Rabbi Shimon says that the case that we are talking about is not problematic. He says, V'chein pasak Rabbeinu Klunimus Azaken, that he agreed with that position, that that is Ksheira. If you inflate it and it comes to the normal size and the normal shape, so that's totally fine. All right, now we'll just continue. Nitla Shalfuchit Shela. If the womb of the animal was removed, Ksheira, that's totally fine. Now, Rashi over here says the shalfuchit is synonymous with ha'em, tarpachat, and shalfuchit. All three of those items are synonymous, and they are all talking about the womb. And if the womb is taken out, then that's fine. Hitliya kavejla. If the liver was wormy, rotting or wormy. Zaya Masa, we had a case like this. Va'alu ale b'nei Asia, people from Asia came to the Chachamim Gimel Regalim. On three Regalim, they came and asked about the Shaila, Le'Yavna, to the Chachamim in Yavna. The Regal Shlishi, Etiru Alehem. For the first two Regalim, they did not respond to them. They didn't have an answer. On the third Regal, they were willing to be Matir. They said that it is fine. And that'll be the din, that if it has wormy kaved, then it is okay. That's not considered or classified to be a trefa. Tosfot distinguishes here between the Kisa Hasheten. The Kisa Hasheten is the bladder, the urinary bladder that fills up. He says that it's true if the womb is missing that it's okay, but the urinary bladder, that is not okay. If there's a puncture in there, Onital Tarfa, or the Tarfa is missing. According to Rashi, the Tarfa and the Shalfuchit are identical, they're synonymous. Tosfot over here thinks that the Tarfa is something else. Umash lo uzkar lo b'mishnah v'lo b'gemara. They're not mentioned, neither of these items are mentioned in the Gemara. Shema avi b'chlal nikvu adakim. The reason that we would be oser them and make them into a trefa is because maybe they're included in the intestines, or they're classified like intestines, and therefore even a small snekev will be problematic. So he says, we don't have a Gemara, we don't have a Mishnah, doesn't know what to do. So because they are the tail end of the intestinal digestive tract, maybe they have the same din as the dakim, as the intestines, and even a hole will be. They will not have the din of the shalfuchit of the womb, which if it's entirely missing, that it's fine. But we're going to be choshish that maybe they're part of the digestive tract and they are considered like intestines, and even the smallest hole will be problematic. Okay, we'll stop over here.